I just went along with it and told her I look forward to seeing her again. And for those few moments, you know, maybe I had become her boyfriend.
You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's.
Hello, and welcome to episode 30 of The Alzheimer's Podcast. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. Thank you for joining me for another podcast where my goal is always to empower you to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. Today, Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, and I will be helping you better understand what it really means when your loved one develops an intimate relationship with another resident. In case you're new, Christy joins me regularly for discussion to help empower you to be successful as you care for someone living with dementia. She is a certified dementia practitioner, certified dementia care unit manager, and cognitive stimulation instructor. She has run award-winning memory care communities in assisted living and skilled nursing levels of care. Using her 16 years of experience and working with over 1,100 people living with dementia and their families, she's developed a system that helps families move from crisis management to confidence. Hello, Christy. It's great to have you back for another episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa right here on the Alzheimer's Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me back. I love being here.
I love it too. And it's always great to learn and hear the expertise that you bring to it. And I know our listeners are enjoying it as well. So Christy, I can't even imagine how hard it is on a spouse or other family members when their loved one starts to lose the ability to recognize them. And then on top of that, there's often mistaken identity where the person with dementia mistakes someone as their spouse, their girlfriend, or their boyfriend. And then at times I've seen in care homes where new relationships occur where a loved one grows very close to another resident. And, you know, and all of this is just very emotionally trying for family members. And without someone such as yourself to help them, I'm not sure how they can get through it. So I look forward to hearing what you have to share.
Yeah, no pressure, right? you know, it is something that I always am amazed by is the difference in how people's adult children react versus how their spouses react.
Okay.
So as a memory care director, I had many opportunities to see this playing out. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that happens all the time, but it happens with a pretty good frequency inside memory care. And, you know, universally, I saw spouses were way more okay with it than the adult children were, which shocked me. I would have thought it would have been completely different. Nope, not at all. And yeah, it's amazing, right?
I'm surprised to hear that. Yes, I am surprised.
And here's why. Of course, I'm naturally curious, so I needed to know the why behind this. You know, the spouses all said exactly the same thing. And it was along the lines of, it is so good to see him happy again, or it is so good to see her happy again. And it was just such a depth of love.
Okay.
Coming from that place is just really amazing to me. And so I saw, you know, well spouses come in and would visit with their husband and his girlfriend, or, you know, the wife and her boyfriend, where the three of them would visit together. And that was okay. And the spouses were just so genuinely thrilled to see, you know, their person with dementia happy, content, like it had been so long since they had seen that they just were overjoyed about it. And I'm sure there were places, you know, in their heart where it did not feel good. but they were just to a person so generous in how they felt about it. And I think, you know, that really, the last time we talked, we were talking about love, right?
Exactly.
This is definitely love in action when you have a spouse that has that huge a heart to accommodate a situation like this. You know, one of the things, of course, that we're looking at as memory care staff, or, you know, just as dementia professionals, is, are people safe, right? So this is in no way to imply that, you know, it's a kind of a swingers party in a memory care neighborhood, because right, that's right. Not true. But so, you know, when we look at consent, right? And, you know, is the person still able to consent and go through the criteria, you know, on determining consent, right? And there are different levels too, you know, so, you know, once past that whole consent thing, there are different levels. Some people, and this is honestly, this is the majority of it for people, is they like to hold hands.
Right.
That's the big deal, is holding hands. And it goes back to, you know, just as humans, our need for relationship, for intimacy. And I think intimacy a lot of times is used as a euphemism for sex, and that's not really what it's all about. You know, it's very intimate to be in the bathroom with someone as they're brushing their teeth, right?
Right.
That's an intimate situation. So intimacy is just really more about that sharing of self, right? Mm-hmm. That feeling of closeness. So that is typically, you know, what we do see in memory care. There are times where it goes beyond that, where people want to, you know, hug. That happens. And, you know, again, typically that's okay. There are also, you know, situations where people want to go further than that. And of course, that goes back to consent and whatever. And I don't want to, you know, get into a different conversation than the one we're having today. But in my experience, typically it is, you know, people holding hands, and that might mean that they're sitting next to each other in the activity room. During, you know, maybe there's a Sunday matinee on, and so they're sitting next to one another and holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They might even share a bowl of popcorn, right? and that's it. That's the relationship, and they will refer to one another as, you know, that's my boyfriend, that's my girlfriend. This doesn't mean that, you know, how am I trying to say it? There's this perception that maybe they have completely forgotten about their spouse.
Okay.
Which is actually not always true. Often not true at all.
Hmm.
And, but it's the flip side of that is they're not consciously cheating right. on their spouse either.
Right.
So it's one of those complicated dementia things where more than one thing can be true at the same time. So people are experiencing the happiness that they feel in the moment with their boyfriend or girlfriend. And then the spouse will come in to visit and they'll say, well, hey, where have you been? And have you met my girlfriend? And so they're recognizing the spouse, not necessarily as their spouse, but as someone who's important to them.
Okay. Yeah.
As a person that they like very much, a person who comes to visit, a person who always seems to be there for them. And so it's an important person, but not necessarily their spouse.
Okay. I'd like to share that when I used to, I went to a conference at a memory care community, and there's probably 30, 40 professionals in the room, and a resident came in the back that I knew and I enjoyed talking to several times, and she sat alone in the back. So I went back there and I sat next to her, and we held hands, and, you know, I thought nothing of it. And at the end of the conference, I don't know, it was probably 30 minutes or so, she told me what a wonderful date we just had. And and that was nice. I, you know, and I just went along with it and told her I look forward to seeing her again. And I, for those few moments, you know, maybe I had become her boyfriend. And it was all because of the innocent, you know, it was just holding hands and having that intimate time together.
Right. And that's exactly, you know, the type of thing that I'm talking about, where, and I think that this is really true of professionals who work with people living with dementia, is we all are so conscious of the energy that we bring and know that it's contagious. So we're naturally showing up with the good stuff, right? We're bringing respect, kindness, love, empathy, compassion. Mm-hmm. And one of the silver linings of dementia, of course, we very rarely talk about silver linings, but one of the big silver linings is for people living with dementia, they're just like at a different level as far as picking up energy, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like I always say they just kind of cut through all the nonsense and they feel you.
Right.
So whatever you're bringing, good or bad, they feel you. I hope you're bringing the good stuff. So when they feel you, and this is why, you know, to this day, I can walk into any memory care and have residents crowd around me. It's because of the energy I'm bringing. I haven't done anything special, right? When I walk in there, it's the energy I'm bringing. They can feel that I'm like part of their tribe, right? And boom. And so that, you know, same thing with that story that you just told of, you know, oh, I like this energy and this is why people are drawn to us. And then to reflect that back to them, you know, hold hands and just like in that, I got you. Everything's okay right now. To give that gift to a person living with dementia. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. And that's the kind of thing that's happening more when someone is living in memory care or in a care community and they suddenly have a boyfriend or girlfriend. It's just that feeling of I'm not alone.
Right.
There's someone else in this with me and it's all okay. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the spouse. It's like two separate situations are going on without any intent to deceive or to, you know, there's just nothing malicious about it at all. For the kids, for the adult kids, mm-hmm. It is crushing. It's like, you know, I can't believe I'm seeing my dad do this. You don't understand. My dad loved my mom for, you know, whatever. And I think the other reason that it's really tough for kids is because, you know, when I say kids, we're talking about people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, sometimes even early 70s.
Right.
These are the kids, right? And so for one thing, you know, we all like to think of our parents as having had carnal relations the one time it took to conceive us, right?
Right.
The end, that's the end of that. And so it's thinking outside that box, stretching our imaginations in a place we don't want our imaginations to go, but to actually see our parents as someone other than a parent, as a whole human being, mm-hmm. right? In the same way that we are, meaning they have the same needs and the same desires. Even though they have this diagnosis, that did not take away their need for intimacy, their need for physical contact, their need to feel loved, their need to express love. Right?
Right, exactly.
The need for affection. And so you can see why, you know, once we kind of delve into it a little bit more, you can see why it's tougher for the adult kids than it is for the spouses, mm-hmm. right? Because spouses have looked at their spouse as an adult human for all these many years, whereas kids don't, I don't care how old they are, they, you know, they're always looking at their parent, even if they're helping their parent to the toilet, right? Or helping their parent get dressed or helping their parent in the shower. They're helping with these care tasks, but it's still that parent-child relationship, even if only on a subliminal level.
Okay.
So they're doing these things to be really helpful for their parents. And the idea of their parents, you know, having other grown-up type needs is just a bridge too far.
Right. But even though, as you know, you mentioned, it's the spouses accept it easier than the adult children, it's still really hard on the spouse. I'm sure of that they've maybe at first it caught them off guard, and you know, and they've had a little time, but and they've to come to grips with it and accept it. But I know it's always still so emotional to be letting go. And
I have just always been so amazed at the generosity of spirit and the depth of the love of these spouses to pretty much just accept, like, this is how it is, and to be genuinely happy. And, you know, I there's no doubt I was not privy to every, you know, every thought, of course, that people had. But I think one of the things that really helps spouses get to that place is the sensitivity with which memory care staff handles it.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, hey, and I've had this conversation hundreds of times where, you know, you're on the lookout for, let's say, Mrs. Smith, right? And she comes in and, hey, Mrs. Smith, can I just talk to you real quick before you go back for a visit? I just wanted to let you know that I've noticed Mr. Smith has been kind of always wanting to sit next to Miss Jones for about the last week or so. And yesterday at dinner, I saw that they were holding hands. And so I just wanted to let you know that this had happened. And that's all that's happened. And, you know, do you have any questions?
Right.
Or, you know, or maybe, you know, at this point in the, you know, Alzheimer's disease process, or at this point, you know, with Lewy body's dementia, what we find is, right, you know, a little educational piece too. But do you know, 9 times out of 10 that I have had that conversation, what I've heard back from Mrs. Smith is, well, yeah, I noticed that a few days ago myself. Seems to really like her. She's a delight. She's pretty funny.
Huh. Well, that's it.
What? Huh? And, you know, it's not, believe me, it was not that I was ever running any negligent communities.
Sure.
But, you know, it's just the staff, it's not a one-on-one situation, right? So right. We're not there with people one-on-one all the time. But seriously, what I would hear back from the spouse is, yep, I noticed it. I saw it. I sat and visited with them the other day or whatever. He seems happy. And I just couldn't be happier that he's happy. And again, just to me, completely mind blowing.
Yes.
You know, I just have always hoped that I could grow up to be such a good person, right? To have that generosity of spirit and of heart.
So do you, in those instances, is the staff trained to deal with something like that, or do they get it more through maybe mentoring from someone such as yourself? Because that's a pretty delicate situation to go into, you think.
Yeah, I think it is a delicate situation. I think training staff is so important in every aspect that you can possibly anticipate. Because our brains scan for what's the answer to something, right? When something unusual comes up, our brains immediately start scanning for an answer. And if somebody's had training on it, they're likelier to come up with the right answer.
Right.
And so, in a lot of ways, depending on what the exact situation is, right? And this is where we go back to consent and so forth. But the family is often one who's going to say how they would like it handled. And so that might be, you know, depending on what the situation is. Let's say one person knows that this is the lady I always want to sit next to, right? And the lady is not there. She either doesn't want the attention, or she's not able to distinguish between him and three other guys. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a different situation for her. So in that case, what we'd be training the staff to do is, okay, they're both coming into the lunchroom. So we're going to make sure they're coming in from different entrances and sitting at different tables out of one another's line of sight. And she is going, you know, and he, since he seems to have a target lock on her, and she is just a friendly gal who doesn't care or doesn't want to be involved with him, we're going to give him the opportunity to have another fella on each side of him, right?
Okay.
And we're going to keep him engaged. And what we're looking for is how else can we meet this need? Because he has a need for connection. So can he have a buddy relationship? Is that going to meet a need for connection? You know, is the staff, are they not being affectionate enough with him? And what I mean by that is, there's a really sad statistic out there where people in long-term care are typically hugged only one time every 3 months, like on average.
Wow.
Other than that, they're only touched for personal care. And so, you know, in most memory cares, and certainly in any that I ran, that was not the case for us. So I'm not talking about inappropriate touching,
right,
obviously,
right, right.
But I'm talking about the same way that we would be affectionate with a grandparent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm going to put my arm around you because I care about you,
right,
because I love you, right? And because you're here and I'm here and I'm so happy that we're here together. You know, so that type of thing. So, you know, are we showing that type of positive affection?
Positive affection. I like that term, and I've seen that even between two men who were fellow veterans during World War II. It was just being companions, being together for each other.
They're
nearly 90 years old, and they were just being friends to each other. So.
Yeah. And so it's just looking at how else can we meet those needs for closeness, for intimacy, for affection, for touch, and what is, you know, and keep other people safe, right? Because we would never want anybody to be the target of unwanted attention.
Right.
So, you know, it's a balancing act, but That's okay.
So we're at about the 20-minute mark, and I want to ask you, Christy, what about the case where I've heard of the person confusing a child, one of their adult kids, their daughter or their son, or their daughter or son's spouse as their girlfriend or boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
That happens too, I believe.
Yeah, that can happen. So it's not a whole lot different than, you know, where somebody will, oh gosh, I remember with my grandmother where she didn't recognize my grandpa as her husband anymore. She thought it was her dad.
Right.
Because in her head, she was too young to be married to some old geezer, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So it's the same type of thing. It's just kind of like, where is the person in the process? And what, you know, how can we accommodate that and keep everybody safe and nothing skeevy?
Right.
You know, I think it's important for people to understand that usually there is no skeevy motivation behind any of this, right? It's just a simple case of confusion. And so, again, a lot of times just having that, you know, having your arm around someone or just holding their hand, that's boom, need met. No worries. And just recognizing, too, that sometimes people are just confused about where they are in time. So, you know, sometimes a daughter can look very much like her mother did, you know, 50
exactly.
years ago at that same point in life.
Right.
And so it can, you know, usually somebody's not going to try and do something weird. That's like the one of those myths that floats around out there, you know?
Okay.
And so it's just, you know, it seem all excited to see you and, oh my gosh, you look so good and I can't wait for our date or whatever. Daddy, did you think you were talking to mom just now? Or, oh, Daddy, it sounds like you have plans for mom tonight. So you can kind of just deflect it with a joke, or you can just, you know, not acknowledge the comment. There are different ways to go about it, or just say,
so
you know,
what?
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's have fun or whatever.
Right.
The thing is, sometimes we just need to take a step back and say, well, what's really going on here?
True.
Oh, you know, my dad, who's been madly in love with my mom for the last 50 years, just mistook me for her. He didn't do anything creepy or weird. He seemed really excited to see me and said, you know, and he whistled when I walked in. Well, okay. You know, hey, thanks, Daddy. Fine. That gives him a little cue too, right?
Right.
That I'm not mom. That's fine. That's okay. So really, you know, look for the whole context of what's happening. like I say all the time, right? You know, respect, kindness, love. So we're not going to freak out. We're not going to have a meltdown. We're not going to make it worse. Right. and not going to overreact too. And that takes some practice sometimes.
Well, I must say, this is a very interesting conversation. I'm surprised by what you shared regarding spouses versus adult children, but now that you've explained it, I understand and I can see why that is. And so I do appreciate you, Christy, for joining us again, and thank you to our listeners. But that does conclude our conversation with Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
All righty, bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherness.com/podcast.